But I guess while we're waiting for Jim, the other judge, let's actually get going. So I will welcome you all, which I'm doing right now. Welcome to the last session of the last day. Thanks for staying. It's tough, I know. I mean, there's the city that beckons and the wine that needs drinking and everything else. But we're here today to talk about podlings. Actually, to hear about podlings and hear podlings talking about podlings. In fact, talking about themselves. So I'll just explain how it is going to go. It will be 5 minutes of a podling, basically making a pitch for why their project is the coolest one ever, why everybody should participate in that community, and why Apache Board of Directors, of which Shane is one member, should ultimately vote on that podling to graduate when time comes, instead of really killing it in its crib. So it's yours, you know, the chance of convincing Shane now, it's now or never. Greg will be also judging you very judgmentally. Yes, that's right. That's exactly how it's going to go. And that's the other 5 minutes of the 10-minute slot. So you talk for 5 minutes, then they basically give you feedback for 5 minutes, and it really is feedback. They'll just judge you, right? You know, you don't get to say anything. You just stay here and listen. And I will be brutal with time because, you know, we have five podlings to go through. So when you talk and you see me doing like this, it means you've got 1 minute left, and once it's 5 minutes, I'll just cut your mic.
So the judges usually have a request for do we have an air horn or a bell? For the, you know, the gong show when we're done?
I'll be doing like...
Okay, just point at you. Thanks.
All right, and with that, I...
We take that.
No, because I'll be actually passing it to podlings. That's the trouble. So this one is at least, you know, stationary. Okay. So, and with that, I will let judges introduce themselves, and if Jim comes, he'll introduce himself later. So, Shane.
Oh. Hi, my name is Shane Kirkrew. I currently serve on the board, and I serve as Vice President of Brand Management. So I have gone and looked at all of your podling websites and have comments about how, not really the trademarks, but more like, are you actually explaining what you do to newcomers to your project? Always a useful thing. Thanks. And I'm not. We're not quite sure who's playing good cop and bad cop today. Do we know that yet? Hmm? Who's playing good cop, bad cop?
We'll take turns.
Okay.
We'll take turns. If you're bad, I'll be good. If you're good, I'll be bad. So, hi, my name is Greg Chase, and I am not a member of the Apache Software Foundation. I am not on the board. I am a committer in and a PMC member of Apache Geode, very, very recently turned TLP, so I've actually gone through the whole pitching process quite a bit. So I am here to take the perspective of someone who made it through.
All right, thank you so much, and without further ado, Apache Beam.
All right, I'm here to talk about a talk I'm calling Frickin' Laser Beams, aka Why I Have Something the Shark Should Like. So, you know, we have this problem, I think, in general, which is that big data is really hard to grok. So the ecosystem is just ginormous. There are so many products, there are so many technologies, and frankly, they all kind of do the same thing. It's pretty hard to tell from far away. So if you look at the Apache Big Data agenda, I think we heard from something like 5 different streaming execution systems, 3 or 4 different key value stores, many different databases. This is really bad, I think, for new projects, because you join and you're kind of like, I want to connect with the Apache, but wait, which one and how many and how do I do it? It's also hard for users because, you know, which one of these things should I use and how do I make a choice and is this going to bite me in a year when new hotness comes along? And, you know, it's really kind of a very murky, cloudy place.
Just so we know, those aren't all Apache projects. You included Don.
Those are not all Apache projects. Okay, they're all big data projects. They're mostly Apache projects. So Beam is many things, but the way I'm thinking about it right now most is that Apache Beam is a glue for big data, simplifying and unifying the ecosystem, Apache and others. So the vision of Apache Beam is that we have a programming model that is unified and portable across pipelines. If you came to my talk on Wednesday, JB and I demoed a big data pipeline written in a runner-independent way. So it's a pipeline that has the algorithms and the data sources it uses, but does not tell you whether it runs on Spark, Apex, Gearpump, Google's Cloud Dataflow, Flink. In fact, it runs on all of them. And we showed you that that was true with no changes to the code. And we support, really, the entire Apache ecosystem. So the users who want to write big data and analyze big data and integrate it with all the places they have it stored and they want to write it to. We have, you know, SDK writers who say, I really prefer Python. You can write Python in Beam and you can run it on Dataflow and one day we hope run it on Spark, Java Spark. If you provide libraries that are useful, you don't have to make a library specific to some backend. You can make it useful for everyone. Same thing for IOs. We have efficient APIs that allow portability. And if you were at the talk two after mine on Wednesday, you saw Spotify demo a DSL they've written in Scala, where they were able to build a REPL style, really nice, interactive, flexible thing on top of our Java SDK and execute it on the cloud and integrate with Apache Zeppelin and get some sort of no-ops management and automation. So my pitch here, this is going to fall off. My pitch here is that Beam brings a network effect to Apache, to big data, and also some of the non-Apache things out there. That really, if you connect with Beam, if you connect your I/O with Beam, your database, then you get access to the users of all these SDKs, all these DSLs, all these libraries, and your code will work efficiently on all these different runtimes. And the same holds for any of these other modules. Now, actually, we have a pretty good community, but our users are asking us, why are you still incubating? When are you getting get out of there? So I'm actually here to also lobby the board and the sharks that we should be graduating. To do that, I'm talking very quickly about what we've done in incubation. We've been incubating for 9 months now. We've managed to produce 3 releases. We've added 1 new SDK, Python. We've added 2 new runners, Apache Apex and Apache Gearpump. We've added 3 new committers from 3 different organizations, tons of new IOs, and there's lots of information you have on the slide, but one of the key things is we're actually the second most active Apache project on GitHub by number of pull requests opened. So the other thing that I know is concerning for Podlinks and one of the prereqs for graduation is understanding a sense of community and diversity. So Beam began its life as a product called Google Cloud Dataflow, and the green line is when we started incubating. We instantly lost a bunch of crappy sort of Google bots that would refactor our code all the time. And, it took us about 4 months of sort of spinning up our community, producing our first release. But since we did that, we actually have reached parity in terms of Google and non-Google contributors. So the total commitment level has not changed. The Google investment is still strong. And we have a strong external community. To give you one slightly deeper picture of diversity, this is the Java artifacts we produced in our first release. Most of the Google folks work on the core and on these 2 Google-specific modules. However, compared to what we had when we shipped, we have lots of new stuff. I am done. Thank you.
Have you guys done like a maturity assessment? I know you had some of the elements I would expect to see on typical formats of the maturity assessments.
I am impressed with the slides and the demo because this is a very good overview. It hits all the points. It's like you've done your homework for how to prepare for Shark Tank. So good points on that one. Love the website. It's friendly. It has basic information. And it has, here's how to install. Here's an actual Hello World program. There's a lot of ways for people to get involved. One question I have for you is, how successful has your community been at actually engaging developers in all those other Apache projects that you have I/O for, runners for, or I/O modules for, right? How are you going to, because this really, to have success in the community sense, rather than just Google and a couple of big data providers being here, is getting those other Apache projects interested in a way that their project can also be used. So what's your success on that side in terms of actually getting them involved in building these modules?
So in terms of those 4 runners, Google has done 0 work on those runners. So really the Spark runner was brought not by the Spark community so much, but by Cloudera and PayPal, people who want to use Spark. The Flink runner was brought by data artisans and the Flink community. The Apex runner was brought by the Apex community. The Gearpump runner was brought by, primarily Intel-based developers, but the Gearpump community. And then we have people reaching out from Airflow and Zeppelin and other projects to integrate with us. I think for now, most of the sort of I/O-specific things like Cassandra and Kafka have been sourced by users rather than by those projects.
Yeah, no, it's just this is a place where it could be really powerful if the development communities share. And I guess I'll just ask the really, really odd question is, so how does Beam view efforts like Apache Big Top or the ODPI consortium outside of Apache in terms of providing a unified set of Hadoop and related tools that work together that presumably you've been on top? Are you looking to get into one of those or that you're not thinking about that at all?
Not thinking about that at all.
Okay. Curious.
And what kinds of evangelism outside of the incubation news groups have you guys done for Beam?
So, lots of sort of talks at Strava, talks at Facebook at scale. Spotify is hosting sort of actually on, they're part of the Beam community, but not the core committers. They're holding meetups in sort of the New York office to promote their Geo project as well as other things. In fact, one of our committers is a pure evangelism committer, so he may now have some commits to the project.
Cool.
But we made him a committer, I think, before he even had a single PR merge, that were, you know, he's out there producing documentation, producing tutorials and examples.
And he's with which organization?
A consultancy called Smoking Camp.
Cool. Awesome.
I think he used to be at
And then you've got 1,500 open PRs, so it sounds like you're a little bit slow on merging those and reviewing them?
We have like 60 open PRs.
Okay, I was misreading your statistic there, but.
Open isn't proposed, and we've closed most of those.
Okay, good. That's good. Good factor. So, I'll plus one this. This is a really nice presentation. And
so should they graduate soon? Are they ready?
No, maturity assessment, right?
Okay.
No, that's a pretty good start in terms of some of the other communities are involved and you're getting the awareness. And I think the other thing I'd really want to hear from is some of the mentors is the Apache Way thing there. For just not that Google people aren't going to understand it, but that are they really truly living it? But yeah, otherwise very promising.
Awesome. Right.
So I suppose I should be the bad cop, but I'm actually having a lot of trouble finding something to stick you on. So I just have to say good job.
Awesome. Woo. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I guess I have a reason not to bring rum to the meeting because we already graduated. And my name is Jim May, and I work for Geode for a little bit more than 1 year. So I'm new to Apache and new to Geode as well. Anyway, so Geode, we even though we graduated, but we still welcome a lot of contributions, and we actually need a lot of contributions, and we need diversities because currently most of the people who work in Geode is in pivotal company. So that's why we need some diversity there. And Geode is cool because it's distributed in-memory database system, and it's well adapted for a lot of cloud applications. So you have all the buzzword there, cloud, in-memory, and distributed system. So it's a very cool technology for you to work on. And we have 47 contributors right now, and have more than like a dozen daily commits. So it's a very active project with lots of tractions there. And we have a mailing list, and we have Slack channels. And so you won't be don't be shy about asking questions, and you will get answers very quickly. We have people monitoring those channels and monitoring those mailing lists, and we will mentor you to get up to speed on this project. And the code base was donated by Pivotal, previously known as Gemfire. I'm not saying that it's not a great piece of software to begin with, but it definitely needs improvement. So, and it has lots of interesting technical challenge for you to tackle. And I list out three areas that we need. Geode is mostly Java-based. So its core technology is written in Java. That's why we need the Java developers to write the to work on the core system, like the storage and queues and queries. That's the core technology in there. And we also provide the clients that interact with the cluster system. And those clients can be written in any other languages. And that's the thing we need some work on. Right now we have Java client and C++ client. So any other language, if you're familiar with any language, we welcome your contribution to write a Geo client for a project like Python, like Ruby, like anything else. That's welcome. And we have a very basic web application monitoring tool, and that's called Pulse, that monitor your cluster health and show the statistics of your cluster. And it's very basic. It's using GMX communication. And so we're looking to to totally improve that, and not just a monitoring tool. We wanted to be a configuration tool, like people can use that web app to start up your server, start up a locator, and put in data in there as well. So, you know, so that's our next generation web application. So instead of using, right now we use a kind of a like command line tool for you to start up your cluster. So in the future, if this web application gets developed, we're hoping to, like, your cluster admin can totally just use this tool to start up your cluster. So of course there are other ways as well, right? We were looking at Cloud Foundry to use that to start up your cluster as well. But this web app should be a very helpful tool for the very helpful tool for the user, especially the new users, to get up to speed. Like, I just want to fire up some system and see how Geode is working. And so that's the key things we would like to welcome contributors to work on. That's it.
Thank you so much.
So I'll just the website is very pretty. I'm hoping it's very pretty, but it's not obvious how to get to everything. There's really fancy graphics, but they're not very clear sometimes. But I will say, so you have the Stack Overflow link on the homepage, and use Slack and so on. So how does the community bring these things back to the mailing list in terms of, you know, here's what we talked about, and here's the things we're going to work on next week, so that people not synchronous have a chance to participate.
Right, and right now we have people that's monitoring those Slack channels, and we keep asking them to create Jira tickets. So either we would ask people who are asking questions up there, like, go ahead and create a Jira tickets for it, or we would have our people, and you know, once they understand what the problem is, and they would create a Jira ticket for the user. So we make sure that it will be represented in the Jira system.
And are any of the people who are doing this work regularly not employed by Pivotal?
Right now, the one I'm aware of, the people who are doing those work that I'm aware of are working for Pivotal. And I don't know any person that's outside of Pivotal who is doing that.
I'd actually ask you you should probably give the feedback from the board, since they're already graduated, then we can kind of work on questions beyond that.
Okay. So it was brought up in the board meeting, and I noticed earlier as you're talking, you've just graduated, and one of the things you said that you're looking forward to doing now is building some diversity.
Right.
So that's, if you look at that statement in one way, then you should not have graduated yet. If you're still working on finding diversity,
we have some diversities, but it's, for me, diversity is like at least 50-50%. Right now, it's probably 20-80%. 20-80.
Okay. And one thing to think of is that truly people who are still active in the project or not? And the other point that someone had made was that if you look at that 80%, even if you look at the 10% who are not currently from Pivotal, they are many ex-Pivotal employees who have now moved on to other companies. So while it may not be a direct, you know, sort of control issue, this is something that Apache has had some recent history in other areas, that this shows a likely problem in the future, unless we are truly getting other organizations who want to invest here as well.
I think we have some developers, especially from our users, our customer companies, that's contributing as well.
Yeah, that's like a big Gruber. Help. I think the question will be is the board will be watching, and to make sure that those customers are also becoming contributors to Apache Geode, mm-hmm. and not to vendor distributions in the terms of long term. But the board passed it and had a discussion, and we'll be going back to the PMC later on just to double check. But hopefully everything will look good.
And now I can get into more detailed questions related to that. There were some early activity in the Geode history where we were having some adoption by other projects. So Apex comes to mind. Let's see, Apex, which one?
Yeah, Flink.
Okay.
Zeppelin
did. I'm trying to remember, what was the one that the Java framework? I don't know how far they got. I'm missing the name of it. But there's, I think I counted four communities in Apache, even though I'm not remembering them right now, that were making use of them. And then I was also, we know that Spring has some pretty good support for Geode. What is the PMC doing and the Geode community doing to encourage adoption of Geode into other frameworks and other technologies?
I think what we're doing is like we're actively supporting the integration effort. Like when they have a problem integrating with us, and they would always get a quick response. And like for example, the recent security feature that we added, and the Spring Data Geode. You know, they have some problem of using the new feature, and so we quickly turn that around and give them a better interface to integrate with us.
But in this case, you're responding to people in those communities that have an interest in bringing Geode in. You're not participating in those communities and being a little more outbound?
Right.
And then another question I would have is, are there other communities in Apache that you think could benefit from Geode? If the Geode community were to be working and outreaching a little bit more?
That's definitely true. Like if we have like more outreach model, then definitely we would have more adopters.
Well, thank you so much. We're out of time. So what do you judges think? Do they get to keep the TOP status?
I think there's other elections I'd rather try to rescind first, if that's okay.
Yeah, I would never want to annoy the infra guys, so they've already started working on it, so yeah, you can keep it, no problem.
All right, thank you so much. Next up is Finrad.
You're a mentor.
They even have a pronunciation on the page.
They do.
All right, I'm going to present on Apache Finneract. First off, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about what banking software, or what banking is, because a lot of people don't understand what we do. So when banks make loans to customers, they need to have money in the bank from other customers in order to make those loans. Okay. So part of the reason why banks choose to give loans to certain people and to other people not is because they're responsible to the customers who save money at their banks to make sure they don't lose that money. And this is part of the reason why poor people have had a lot of trouble getting loans, is because they are perceived as poor risks. And this is why in 1976, Muhammad Yunus helped out a bunch of village women who weren't able to get loans from traditional banks and who were getting loans at very, very high interest rates. he lent $27 to 42 women, and they made a small profit on the loan, and they paid it back. And with that, Muhammad Yunus showed that under the right circumstances, poor people will pay back loans too, and that those poor people can be brought out of poverty by being able to take out loans and start businesses. And in fact, 55% of Grameen customers who remained customers for 5 years or more exited poverty. And the average write-off is just 1%. And these are some of the reasons why Mr. Yunus won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2006 for his work. So how did this get to be a software product? Well, you may realize that keeping track of all the money you have in your bank and making sure you haven't lost any, doing your compounding interest calculations and et cetera is actually a fairly computationally intensive menial work that's an obvious match for software. The big banks do this with old core banking systems, and the MFIs don't have access to these systems because they're expensive. And in order to solve that problem, the Grameen Foundation started a project in 2004 called MIFOS, Microfinance Open Source. And this is a product that is now evolved and was accepted into incubation last year as Apache Finneract. Since we've joined, we've done several things. We renamed the project from MIFOS to Finneract and moved it into Apache infrastructure. We've removed dependencies to Pentaho and Hibernate, because of their Apache incompatible licenses. We've moved communications into the Apache mailing lists and into other Apache infrastructures such as Jira and Confluence. We've started moving documentation from the Mifos infrastructure. And we've made our first incubator vetted release. Yay! We still have some more work to do. We need to get into a proper release rhythm. One release is not a rhythm. We need to overcome some of the communication challenges that stem from the fact that the UI is still at the Mifos initiative and the backend isn't at Apache. And we need to make our own internal goal of also creating binary releases. We need to grow the community. Most of the contributors now, or most of the active co-contributors now, are from Conflux, with a few contributions from Mifos employees. And speaking as a Mifos employee and not as a FinReact contributor on this last point, we need to introduce the re-architecture that I and my colleagues are working on for FinReact to the community. Whether that's something that has to be done before or after graduation, I think, is a question that's still open. So. Yep, done.
Well, I'll just start right where you left off. So here we have a corporation. So is Mifos a nonprofit?
Mifos is a nonprofit.
Okay, so that helps me feel a little bit better. Who is starting the project? You've made a decision to change the branding, which is great. I mean, when companies donate a product, they usually need to say, we're giving Apache the brand and the code, or we're giving you the code, but we're going to keep the brand and the Podling will choose something new, which is, so that's a conscious decision. You clearly made that very well. That was nice. So you're saying you and some other Mifos employees are working on this re-architecture. Do you discuss it with the community before or after you graduate?
We are currently discussing the basics of it.
There's only one answer to that, and the answer is yes, we'll discuss it with the community.
Not just yes, we will discuss it. Yes, we are currently discussing it.
Yes.
So
okay,
starting
good.
With the architecture questions around the microservices questions. The problem, we're not getting a lot of answers right now. But the discussion has been put into the dev list, so yes.
Yeah, okay. So working with the community, that's the key part along the way, and not, sort of building the architecture document internally, effectively, and then presenting it as, here's our final draft documentation that we're going to build to, right? Involving the community in the process of the planning and in the thought process, right? So.
So I have a little of experience really kind of spectating, I'll use that word, with the Kiva community. And so I'm kind of curious, do you see them as something separate, something you can integrate with? Are you like two sides of a solution? Or is there some opportunity to, work with and tap into that community? Because it does seem to be fairly vibrant.
Yeah, FinReact is a backend, so we would love it if they would use our components. This is the kind of thing that our software is made for.
Yeah. And one more question: is the ultimate end user of the community software, is it a microfinance organization? Is it something like Akiva? Is it something else?
Well, we actually have two different kinds of end users. One is the microfinance institutions, which do small installations. We also have service providers who use our software to provide an installation to the microfinance institutions. We also have a few random things like a credit union in Belize, we had a request for somebody who was tracking power and thought we could be used to track power, which, it's numbers, you're tracking it. So, yeah, actually.
So on one side, I absolutely love this project because part of the reason I stay involved with Apache is because software like this helps actual people in the world. That's why we're a public charity, and that's one of the things that excites me. My question is, so this sounds like a sort of low-level financial services thing. The simple thing is you'll need a little bit of help on your website to make it more appealing to the developers as well as the people who, like if I were in banking, I'd understand your website. If I'm a developer, I'm not going to see it. I'm like, what the heck is this? But that's a side question. The real question is, how is FinReact as a product going forward going to work with whatever else it is that the Mifos organization is going to be building? So is this a case where you're basically giving us this core, but you're going to then be selling, the full package that somebody could just install and download? Or is that not where Mifos itself is going?
Well, Mifos is a nonprofit. So the goal of Mifos is to drive the adoption of the microfinance model, helping that with using software. Our goal is not to make money. So Does that answer the question as to, I mean, we have there is a UI that's supported by MIFOS. The reason that didn't get donated with, along the way with to Apache was because of licensing issues. So to make a complete product, you need the UI. So we are repackaging it in that sense. But we're not the only ones repackaging it. Like, for example, Musoni or Conflux are putting their own UI in front of it.
Good. No, so that's there are other organizations who are going to come along and build something on top of Finarak that are complete solutions separate from MIFOS. That's what we want for Apache, is to have multiple vendors doing this. So plus one, definitely.
Any closing thoughts?
I think it's really cool just to have something that's closer to an application in Apache and one less component.
Yeah, so plus one.
Plus one.
Plus one.
Next up is a pretty good friend of the open source in the community sense, and newbie to Apache.
It's a big one.
Yeah, it is a big one. It's called NetBeans. NetBeans, you're next up.
Ouch.
All right. Hello, my name is Jesse Glick, and I'm an Ant committer, currently working on Jenkins mostly. I was working on NetBeans between about 1999 and 2012 as a full-time committer. So this is a little bit unusual in that at this point I'm sort of being listed as an additional committer in the project, so my contributions are not very heavy at this point, but I am still involved somewhat in the project. Essentially, my experience with it was throughout all parts of the core project system and so on, and also the conversions between different version control systems and things like this. So this project was very recently donated by Oracle, so it's just came into the Apache incubator. I guess I would, in terms of it, has a sort of a long history in open source. So it started in soon after the Sun acquisition in 2000. It was switched to become open source project. And since then, all of the developers have sort of been very actively working in a public environment since that time. So there's a lot of people are heavily involved in Apache projects and so on. And it has an open Bugzilla as far back as I can remember. So we've really been processing, I don't know, I think it's at least a couple hundred thousand open issues at this point. So that's a lot of triage of incoming issues that come from users and trying to figure out which ones are actually correspond to real issues or legitimate RFEs and things like that. So in terms of the relationship to Oracle and earlier to Sun, so I was at Oracle for a couple of years after the acquisition, and actually I was struck by the fact that relative to other acquisitions that I know about, the NetBeans project actually received pretty consistent support. So it really felt like it was being treated as a fairly critical portion of the story. And you can't guarantee that going forward because that's up to, you know, the choice of particular executives, but based on what's happened so far, I'm optimistic about that. Being at Apache, I think, would be a really good thing for it in terms of, I mean, in at least two directions. One is that it definitely reduces the barrier to entry for relatively small contributions, which I think for this kind of thing are actually pretty important for keeping things going on a day-to-day basis. A lot of people get started with it in terms of creating a small plugin that fits a particular need that they have for some kind of development framework or tool, something like that. And currently there's, you know, prior to Apache, I think there was a bit of a firewall between what was treated as a core branded product that would be part of NetBeans org, and I think that's it makes it easier for that kind of contribution to happen. Another aspect of moving to Apache, I think, is that makes it easier for pieces to be reused. I was just talking to someone today who actually could have been using a test library that had been originally developed as part of NetBeans for doing memory testing. And that's something that could be useful on Tomcat as well. So, generally speaking, what is NetBeans? We're most familiar with it as an integrated development environment. It's one of the so-called big three, at least in the Java world. It has always had pretty much first-class support for Java platform, especially up-and-coming features in the Java platform. So right now there's very active work on supporting Java 9 modules, things like that. And it's always sort of been at the front in terms of supporting new Java EE technologies, as well as JavaFX and other things like this. In recent years, it's added strong JavaScript support and also has a number of capabilities for PHP, C++ development, things like that. Another aspect of it that's somewhat less well known is that because it's an extremely modular system, it's been picked up as the basis of a rich client platform that's actually in use for creating desktop applications across a number of different industries. So there are a lot of people out there who are creating things based on that.
All right. Thank you. Okay, we'll have questions. I love the idea of NetBeans at Apache because we are a lot of developers and having a developer tool here would be kind of cool. So how is the PMC going to go about untangling the long history with both parts of the core, the Java ecosystem, and the tools you need to do interesting Java development, and of course all these plugins where your entire past life has been GPL and Apache doesn't allow any GPL. So how are you
actually, it's CDDL plus GPL with class path exception. So it's the complicated license.
Yeah, so okay, it's the complicated license. Part of the purpose of the Apache license is it's simple. Just do the Apache license, it's well known, and you don't have to worry about anything else in there. So how are we going to some degree on the public perception side, show that the first release of NetBeans truly has nothing that is copyleft in it? Yeah. And it will still be a useful tool.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of work that's going to go into that. I mean, just in terms of the size of the repository, it's 100,000 files and 7 million lines of Java code, something like that. So it's definitely a big thing. Last I checked, there's about 300 libraries that it's using. A lot of those are actually already Apache, or at least friendly. But there are some that are not. So there's definitely issues to be ironed out, especially for things like the internal Java parser, which is based on OpenJDK code.
Yeah.
So that's probably one of the most interesting things to settle for that. So.
And I guess the other question is, I know there's a strong plugin community around NetBeans, and not only does Apache only host Apache license code or equivalent, but we don't necessarily have the same resources in terms of providing a hosting environment and so on for plugin authors to share their work. How are we going to migrate from your sort of holistic view into what may end up being a sort of slightly separate realm where here's the NetBeans product at Apache, and then here's the plugin community, which is sort of allied but is not part of Apache?
Yeah, so currently there is what's called a plugin portal, which is essentially a catalog of everything that's either produced as part of an official release or anything that gets uploaded by various people with a login. Those things are sort of scattered over the internet in terms of hosting. One problem with that is that there's not a consistent CI environment for that and so on. But there is at least a process in place for vetting all of those components for compatibility with particular releases. And for indexing them, and there's a consolidated update center for it. So there is some infrastructure. I think that it's not currently planned to move that onto Apache infrastructure right off because it's a complex app to run the update center, but eventually that would be the goal.
So a lot, sounds like a lot of work, but you know about it and are planning on it.
Yes, this was just contributed pretty recently, and definitely this is a big project. Right. Just starting with version control conversion is maybe a big project on its own.
So I'm curious your thoughts on the dependence on the single vendor controlled community of J2EE, and how much really Oracle's still going to be dictating the shots for NetBeans.
In terms of Java EE functionality. Yeah.
Well, just even in terms of what does it do next?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a consideration. I mean, on the flip side, it's pretty modular in nature, so it's fairly easy to, I mean, actually, it's just a couple of minutes to pull out pieces that you're not interested in and add in new pieces that you are interested in. So this is done pretty routinely, so we can create distributions for other languages and so on. So I'm not too concerned about that particular kind of functionality being locked in because it doesn't affect people who aren't using that part.
So the larger question, which you know does worry me a little bit, is in terms of is it going to be perceived as this is only useful if you're using the Oracle Java with it, right? Because mm-hmm. if otherwise you can't program Java at all. So regular NetBeans users expect to use Java. So that's going to be something that we're all going to need to work on going forward to ensure it's truly open and you know works without GPL or GPL-like code in it.
Correct. Yeah, I think probably compared to other IDEs, it's long had a tradition of trying to be pretty agnostic about the particular development environment that you're using. So it's tends to err on the side of invoking external tools. For example, in the case of Maven integration, it's just launching that. It's trusting Maven to do the right thing and not attempting to override that behavior. So.
Right. So any single bit of advice that you would feel is the most helpful at this point for this particular community?
Well, I don't know if I should say this on camera, but you need somebody like Andrew Rist at Oracle or some employee in Oracle who is really going to help make sure that questions go to the right place so that there aren't, you know, delays over the paperwork going forward. But I think this is great, and obviously this is going to be a long process, but I'm glad we're starting it.
And having been through the experience of bringing, you know, long-time communities into Apache, it is an ongoing, it is a lot of work to be done. And the best way to do it is just to be transparent and to be saying, you know what, we're working on this problem, or thank you for the advice. And actually, one maybe great way you could do some good stuff sooner in some white spaces is maybe there are quite a few Java-dependent communities inside Apache. Maybe NetBeans in Apache takes on the first task of making those first-class citizens in the IDE, and that would, I think, be demonstrably supportive of Apache, even if you're still downstream of Oracle Java. Because guess what? All the rest of those are, too.
All right. Thank you so
much. And last, but definitely not least, Apache Streams Incubating.
I apologize if you've heard this talk before. I hope that there's at least some new stuff in it, and more discussion to be had, of course.
Yeah, you better have slides.
Is this what I sent you?
Yeah.
This is not what I intended to send.
this is not the slides you're looking for.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is what we've got. So. I'm here to represent Apache Streams and to tell you about why it's important. And the problem that Streams tries to solve is data silos. So data is essential for making choices about what you do as an organization or as an individual. The data about people, places, and things on the internet and within our businesses are spread across a lot of different systems. They have a lot of different formats, and they're typically behind APIs that aren't that are all different. So doing data integration these days is a major part of the workflow of anyone working with data. And you know, at Streams, we think that the situation can be improved. So what we'd like to do is help to make data interoperable by default. A lot, we're all constantly converting, collecting, and writing data integration in order to move around information from a variety of sources. The particular area that we're focused on right now is social networking and other SaaS platform data. This is where people are commenting, posting, liking, right? All of this stuff, it's all different. But we should be able to help improve that by using open source as a community for describing what these data formats look like and then converting a profile from this network like Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or Google Plus into a canonical representation. The canonical representation really currently being the activity streams format, which was pioneered about 5 years ago and is still being developed at the W3C. So this is potentially the de facto standard for representing digital activities online across data silos. So Apache Streams, we think, has potentially a role to play in galvanizing the community that wants to have better data interoperability across data silos and with this type of information in order to have a commons where we can collaborate to describe exactly what the data does look like in reality, and then appropriate mappings in order to turn unique Snowflake data into common interoperable by default data. This is really the primary focus of the project. So the bad news is that most of the largest data warehouse providers are not actively participating in trying to increase interoperability. If anything, things have gotten worse in the past 5 years. But the good news is that we don't really need them to help in order to make this work. As long as they do provide programmatic APIs to partners and allow you to create a token, you can get that data and we can write open source that converts the craziest, most unique data format into something that's usable and harmonious with other data sets. Okay, basically our goals are to unify data formats and data schemas into common formats, make it easy and efficient to do collection from upstream APIs and data sources, make it easy to normalize and make it easy to process. And then once you've got a data set of JSON documents or XML documents in a common format, make it easy to work with those inside of other tools. Hopefully at least one of my images comes through. But a common use case would be like you could build a personal data locker of your Twitter feed, your YouTube feed, and so on. Or your organization could do the same. Hook up to APIs, bring that data in, and then build your own data lake or data warehouse around it. And most of that can be essentially off-the-shelf code coming from Apache. We've got 139 activity stream schemas in the project. These are, you know, associated with the ongoing work at W3C. We also have 39 that are not from networks such as Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, etc. And all of those modules, we're continuing to add more modules and trying to make them better and trying to make the mappings more harmonious. We also have code that can be run via Maven plugin or CLI to do code generation. So given a set of JSON schemas that describe your data set, you can spit out Java Beans, Scala Beans, Elasticsearch mappings, HDFS, Cassandra descriptors, that sort of thing. So that drives along with making things work better. And these are the community health metrics. And this is from October. So Streams is an active project with a community that is working hard on it. And I apologize that the slides turned out looking horrible. I didn't intend that, but here we are.
Thank you.
So I may be showing my age with this comment, but one way I might look at streams is XML for moving data. So, which, because you're sort of making everything in the same common format, which you're doing in a richer way than most other things, but how are you going to stand out in a world of Apache alone has six other streaming protocols that do analysis, do mapping, and that you can now put together with Beam, basically in a simple programming way, to do a lot of what it sounds like you're providing? How are you going to stand out in that kind of world?
The dirty secret of all of those streaming providers is they really have very little to say about what data representation the actual data should take. All of that is typically left to the builder, right? And so Streams is not a runtime platform. It's a set of libraries of modules in order to help you get and maintain data that you can analyze across domains or across sources within a domain. We're not trying to be an alternative to Beam or Kafka Streams or Flink or anything. In fact, we provide examples on how you can take Streams functionality and run it within those platforms.
So you're, in one way, you're less about streaming data, and you're more about making it easier to have data make sense across different things for later analysis.
Precisely.
Okay.
And the activity streams vocabulary covers people, places, organizations. There's about 50 different object types and about 100 different verbs. And taken all together, they encompass, you know, you could go to 1,000 online SaaS services, log in, and be presented with a stream that could be more or less mixed and matched out of those concepts.
And how long have you been incubating, and how's the community diversity in terms of employment?
We've been incubating since 2012, so it's been a long path. We've gone through a couple of different iterations, if you will. I'm optimistic that we've cracked it and have the right set of people involved right now. We have people participating from Hortonworks and from Red Hat and from a couple of different startups. So there is no one company is overrepresented. The technology here, I think, is interesting. And I think that our code base is interesting and good and has a lot of good practices in it. But more importantly, I believe there needs to be some organization kind of taking the lead on making the work of working with data and of trying to break down data silos. I think I do think that this is aligned to Apache's vision of the public good.
I'm not entirely familiar with the W3C work you were talking about here, so I apologize for asking some really basic questions, but they're generally notoriously very slow. What does that do for you guys being downstream from their standard, and how does this limit your future opportunities for innovation if you've got more W3C standards coming down sometime in the next decade?
So they formed a social working group. Several of the activity streams committers have been part of those discussions for the past couple of years. The status right now is that Activity Streams 2.0 is going through its official, has gone through much of its official review and is now on the docket, more or less pending at, like, having implementations that use it, demonstrating that what it does is important. We currently are built around Activity Streams 1.0, so we're at this moment where we're now engaging with the W3C community in order to up-level the stuff that we're capable of doing to match the Activity Streams 2.0 pattern, which brings quite a number of good improvements, and it's all worth doing. It uses JSON LD instead of JSON, allowing for RDF and OWL ontologies to be part of the way that you spec the data, which opens up a large world of definitions of people, places, and things that are already existing. So given that, we're not really constrained by what the W3C has to say about the digital space. This pattern can now be applied to the whole rest of the world that is defined with those linked data concepts.
And with that, we're out of time. So any final thoughts on this modeling or just modeling in general?
Maybe it's my XML past, but I love, you know, being able to connect anything to anything else and have it make sense. I love this kind of thing. It feels like you need the killer app that you can explain to a big data developer or a database person or a front-end person some very domain-specific thing saying, here's how you can do something really cool in your space using streams with an example. But I'm looking forward to when we do hear from you coming to the board to graduate.
And one last thing, and it sounds like you're kind of sort of already doing this, but you know, there's quite a bit of activity and technology innovation happening in streams these days, and maybe that's going to help you guys in the progress in your incubator, but I would suggest the more you can get these other streaming technologies to interoperate with and make use of your work, because it sounds like you're not necessarily incompatible and maybe do add value, that this will help you guys mature and help really create the vibrancy in your group.
Even having, you know, an example code, not even production stuff, just like, here's how you could use this with Spark and Flink, would be just a lot of visibility.
We do indeed. We'll continue to try to increase awareness and grow the community.
And I would, you know, try to build an advocate in their group. That's kind of the extra thing you need to do.
All right. Thank you so much. So thank you all for staying so late. Thanks to our esteemed judges for a wonderful session. And I hope to see all of you and more people next time in Miami. So see you all. Bye-bye.
And thank you, Roman, for corralling everyone together. This is a lot of fun.